This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, in the last session we completed our explanation of the book حقيقة الصيام, The Nature of Fasting by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And as we saw, the book was it basically covered everything related to that which breaks the fast, the rulings pertaining to that which breaks the fast, what breaks the fast and what does not. And I had mentioned that inshallah ta'ala in today's session we will go through a contemporary work along the same subject of that which breaks the fast. And so we have before us a book entitled Contemporary Medical Related Things That Invalidate the Fast. Contemporary Medical Related Things That Invalidate, That Break the Fast. And this book was basically taken from the lessons of Sheikh Khalid al-Mushayqih, who is one of the senior students of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. And basically the Sheikh, he compiled everything related to contemporary things that break the fast, identifying what breaks a fast and what does not. And so that is what, as we will see, he basically mentions the common things that are out there that people ask about, especially in those who are ill and those who are in hospitals with the various gadgets and instruments and different things going into their body, coming out of their body. They ask, is my fast still valid? This is a very small, short book that I translated last year. And for those of you who want access to the book, you can find it online. If you just go to my website or just search it in Google, Contemporary Medical Related Matters That Invalidate the Fast by Sheikh Khalid Ibn Ali al-Mushayqih. And so the Sheikh, he starts by mentioning that which the scholars unanimously agreed upon that break the fast, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, four things: eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, and menstruation or postnatal bleeding for women. And so this includes eating. Eating includes eating and drinking, actually. It includes any kind of oral administration of any kind of medication. So whether it is something that is capable of being chewed or is directly swallowed, And so that includes pills, tablets, capsules, syrups, anything that is basically entering through the mouth and being administered orally. This will break the fast. And so here we don't look at, is this something that is nourishing? Does it provide nourishment to the body or not? We don't ask, is it something providing nourishment or not? Simply the fact that it is being taken orally and one is swallowing it and it ends up in the stomach, this breaks the fast. This breaks the fast. After that, and he mentions the evidences for that which breaks the fast, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, and then the hadith regarding menses for women. And then after that, he gets into the subject of discussion. And so what he does is he starts to mention one by one contemporary, modern-day medical-related things in no particular order. He doesn't mention them in any particular order. And so he just mentions them one by one, also without mentioning, putting them in the order of, like, you know, these are things that break the fast, and then later on he mentions the things that don't break the fast. No, there's no particular order. And so let us look at each one of these things. We will go through them quickly, inshallah, so that we can cover everything that he mentions, or at least most of that which he mentions. So the first thing that he mentions, the first thing that the Shaykh mentions, are asthma inhalers. Asthma puffs that those who have asthma, they have to take. And so the Shaykh, he basically says that these inhalers, these puffs, do not break the fast. They do not invalidate the fast. And so the reason for that, he mentions, the reason for that is that this is no different to rinsing your mouth. And so when we perform wudu and we're fasting, we're rinsing our mouth, and it's inevitable that some drops of the water that you rinse your mouth with, it will mix with your saliva, and you will swallow it. But these amount of drops of water are insignificant. They're so small and insignificant that it does not affect our fast. So he says, likewise, these puffs are the same. When the asthma patient, he takes this inhaler, you have drops going into his mouth, and these drops basically go into his lungs. They are meant to go into the lungs. And so even if we were to say that there are hundreds of drops, tiny drops that are entering into the mouth, where are they going? They are being inhaled and going into the lungs and not the stomach. Likewise, if a person was in a steam room, or, you know, he was outside and there's a lot of fog and steam, and he inhales that, most of it is going into his lungs and not into his stomach. So this is why the Shaykh says that it does not break the fast. And he mentions other reasons as well. And then after that, moving on, the second thing that he mentions are supplemental oxygen. Supplemental oxygen. And so when it comes to oxygen, ventilators, especially nowadays, everyone has heard about the need for these oxygen tanks where COVID patients have trouble breathing, and so they need this oxygen mask. We say, first of all, a COVID patient who is in such a state would not be fasting to begin with. He would not be fasting to begin with. If he is at that level of, you know, of illness, where he is, you know, being admitted to the hospital and whatnot, he wouldn't be fasting to begin with. He is exempted from fasting. But let's say somebody else who ends up having shortness of breath, and let's say it's towards the end of the day and he wants to continue fasting. He doesn't want to miss that day. But he has to take this oxygen. And so the Shaykh, he says that there are two kinds of devices. One is a device that provides oxygen without adding any substance to it, without adding any artificial substance, like a liquid substance to it. He says this does not invalidate the fast. If it's only oxygen without any liquid substance, then it does not break the fast. But if it provides oxygen with this liquid substance that is meant to moisten the oxygen so that it's, you know, inhaled easily, then as long as it is not reaching the stomach, then it does not break the fast if it only reaches the lungs. And so this is what the Shaykh mentioned. So either way, it does not break the fast. However, if a person ends up swallowing it and, you know, he can feel that he's swallowing liquid and it's going to the stomach, then here the Shaykh says it breaks the fast. Here it breaks the fast. The third thing that the Shaykh mentions are certain tablets, sublingual tablets. They're known as sublingual tablets. These tablets are basically supposed to be placed under the tongue, and they're usually used by heart patients. And so they place it under their tongue and then it dissolves. It dissolves immediately. And then the remnants are transferred via the blood. So it goes into the veins and it goes into the blood flow to the heart. And so this is meant to halt a sudden heart attack. And so the Shaykh says using these tablets does not invalidate the fast. It does not break the fast. Why? Because none of it enters the stomach. None of it enters the stomach. Rather, it is dissolved in the mouth. However, he says that if the person feels that he is swallowing, you know, some of this, the remnants of this tablet, and it goes into the stomach, then it does break the fast. Then it does break the fast. The next issue that the Shaykh mentioned is the device that is used. The device that is used to take images along the throat and the esophagus and the stomach. So this is known as a gastroscope, where basically they make you swallow this this instrument. And it goes into the mouth, it goes into the esophagus, and then to the stomach. It ends up in the stomach. And it takes images. The purpose is to check for, you know, to check for ulcers or any other problems in the stomach. So the Shaykh says it appears to him that this does not break the fast. It does not invalidate the fast. Why? Because it is not something that is providing nourishment. It is not something that is providing nourishment. And because it goes in and it comes out. It goes in and it comes out. Yes, we did say that if you eat anything if you swallow anything, that even if it does not provide nourishment, it's going to break your fast because it's entering through the normal passageway to the stomach. And we said this is the rule. Anything that you swallow from your mouth and it goes into your stomach, it breaks the fast, regardless of whether it provides nourishment or not. So how about in this case, why is this exception made here? The scholars say because this is something going in and coming out. It does not remain in the stomach whereby it will be dissolved. And so the Shaykh says it does not break the fast, except, he says, except in one case. And that is if the doctor places something on this instrument, like some kind of greasy substance, to facilitate it entering and going down the throat. And sometimes they use this, some kind of substance, a fatty, greasy substance, to make it easy to swallow. So he says, in this case, it does break the fast because now something is going into the stomach that will remain in the stomach. It will remain in the stomach and it'll get dissolved. And perhaps it is also nourishing if it is a fatty, greasy substance. After that, the Shaykh mentions other instruments that enter through other parts of the body, through the anus, through the urethra, into the urinary bladder. He says also instruments that are entered into the mouth, then onto the throat. So only entering into the throat, not all the way down to the stomach. And so the Shaykh says all of these instruments, we say the same thing, like what we said concerning the gastroscope, that none of these instruments entering the body break the fast. And this is something that we covered when we went through Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's book. And so he mentioned that anything entering the body through other than the mouth or the nose, it does not break the fast unless it is nourishing, if it provides nourishment to the body. So as long as it is not providing nourishment, then none of these things entering the body break the fast. After that, we move on to two things, nasal drops and nasal sprays. Nasal drops and nasal sprays. The Shaykh says nasal drops that are inserted through the nose, they break the fast. They break the fast. And the reason for this is because the nose is a normal passageway. And this we covered through the book of Ibn Taymiyyah. He mentioned that anything entering through the nose, it is considered a normal passageway to the stomach. And the Shaykh mentions that same hadith that Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said that we should sniff deeply water into our nose when we are making wudu, unless we are fasting. Meaning that if we are fasting, we should not be doing that. So that proves that entering something into your nose and sniffing it, that it breaks the fast. Because the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from doing that. So the Shaykh says that even if it is an inconsiderably small amount, even then it breaks the fast because when you're making wudu, you're entering a very small amount into your nose. And yet the Prophet ﷺ forbade that. As for nasal sprays, the Sheikh mentions that we have two kinds of sprays. He says those that are similar to asthma inhalers, he says these do not invalidate the fast, just like we said regarding asthma inhalers. The second type are those that come in the form of drops that are sprayed into the nose. So he says these are like nasal drops, and thus they break the fast. Moving on after that to anesthesia. And so anesthesia is basically when the doctors, they have to numb your body for a procedure, for a surgery. And so he says, the Sheikh says that we have different kinds of this anesthesia. We have the partial one, and then we have the general anesthesia. So he says partial anesthesia he says there are different kinds of partial anesthesia. The first one is through inhaling, and so this is when the patient inhales a gas substance that basically affects his nerves and thus numbing his nerves. He says this does not invalidate the fast because that gas substance, it is no different to what we said regarding the asthma inhalers. Secondly, he says through acupuncture, partial anesthesia through acupuncture. He says this is when we use certain needles to numb that part of the body. He says this does not affect the fast as long as it is regional. It is only a part of the body and not the full body. Because nothing is entering into the stomach, so you know it doesn't affect the fast. And then he says partial anesthesia via injection. And so these are certain drugs that they inject into the body. He says as long as it's regional, it's a part of the body and not the entire body that gets affected, and it does not enter the stomach, then it does not invalidate the fast. It does not invalidate the fast. Then he comes to the issue of general anesthesia. This is when there is a huge procedure, like for example, a heart transplant, where they have to put you to sleep. Basically, they have to make you go unconscious. The Sheikh says the scholars actually differed over this issue. And so they discussed this issue. Even the earlier scholars of the past would discuss this issue under the topic of the one who loses consciousness when he is fasting. Does his fast remain intact, or does it break his fast? And so the Sheikh says we have two scenarios. One scenario where the person loses consciousness for the entire day, whereby he does not gain consciousness for any part of the day. He's passed out for the entire day, from the morning until the evening. And so he says this person's fast is not valid according to the majority of scholars. The second scenario is where you do not lose consciousness for the entire day. And so the scholars differed. And so the Sheikh says the correct view is that if the unconscious person gains consciousness for a part of the day, then his fast remains valid. Why? Because the intention for fasting that he had before Fajr, that today I'm going to fast, I'm going to stay away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, that intention was made during a part of the day. He had that intention. And it remained with him for a good part of the day. And then he went unconscious. So the Shaykh says the same applies to general anesthesia, where they have to make the person go unconscious if it is for a part of the day, like for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. It does not invalidate the fast. Moving on to moving on after that to that which is related to the ear. And so the Shaykh mentions eardrops. And so he says these eardrops are non-nutritional. And he says modern medicine has proven that there is no channel connecting the ear to the brain, allowing liquids to reach it. Unless there is a rupture in the ear. And so based on this, he says that eardrops do not invalidate the fast. Do not invalidate the fast. Why did the Shaykh mention something? Why did he mention that there is no channel from the ear to the brain? Because the early scholars, they used to believe that anything that reaches the brain, that it would invalidate the fast. Anything that would reach the brain, that it would break the fast. And so this was based on their view that there is no channel between the brain, or this was based on their view that there is a channel between the brain and the stomach, whereby anything entering the brain automatically reaches the stomach, whereby nourishment can occur. But modern science has proven that this is not the case. And so we find in the books of fiqh, by the early scholars especially, that they would mention this, that anything that reaches the brain, that it breaks the fast. So that's why the Shaykh, he mentions this. And so he says, eardrops do not invalidate the fast. Do not invalidate the fast. After that, he mentions eye drops. And so eye drops, he says, do not break the fast. And the reason for that is that he says, although modern science has proven that there is a channel between the eye and the stomach, there is a passageway, a small passageway. However, he says that the eye drops are such a small amount, they are very, very small, insignificant amount, such that it is not imaginable that they will reach the stomach, because it dissolves into the eyes, into the tear ducts, and it doesn't go beyond that. He says, even for argument's sake, let's say that something of these drops reaches the stomach. He says it would still be a very small, inconsiderable amount, and such small, inconsiderable amounts are pardoned. We are not held accountable for that, just like the water, just like the water that remains after rinsing the mouth when we perform wudu. Yes, a few drops will remain of that water and will mix with our saliva and we'll end up swallowing it. But we are not held accountable for that. And so he says the same thing with the case of eye drops. Now, when we discussed, when we went through the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned al-kuhul, eyeliners that would be used on the eyes. And he mentioned, Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that there were scholars who considered that as breaking the fast, and he refuted that view. He refuted that view, and he said these eyeliners, these kuhul, they are non-nutritional, and so anything entering through other than the mouth and the nose, and it is not providing nutrition, nourishment to the body, then it does not break the fast. After that, the Sheikh, he goes on to talk about therapeutic injections. Therapeutic injections. And so he says, when it comes to injections, we have three different kinds. We have three different kinds of injections. Intradermal, intramuscular, and intravenous. And so he says, as long as the injections are non-nutritional, then they do not invalidate the fast. It doesn't matter where they're going. So if they are going into the muscles or into the skin or into the veins, as long as they are non-nutritional, they're not providing nourishment, then it does not break the fast. However, now we have the issue of intravenous injections, IVs that are nutritional. And so these IVs break the fast by unanimous agreement of the scholars of today. And so the reason for that is obvious, and that is that these injections are meant to replace food and drink. They are meant to replace food and drink for the patient. And so a person, when he is not able to eat or drink and he becomes dehydrated, for example, and whatever he drinks, he throws it up, or whatever he eats, he throws it up, and he ends up in the hospital, what do the doctors do? They put him on these injections. And these are supposed to be nutritional. They're supposed to provide nourishment, replacing food and drink for the person. And so the very purpose of fasting, the very objective of fasting is that we're supposed to stay away from food and drink, because that will help us to achieve taqwa. That will help us to achieve taqwa. And so if we are providing nourishment to our body, then we're missing out on that. After that, the Sheikh talks about insulin needles. And so these are for diabetic patients. He says they do not invalidate the fast. These needles that are taken by diabetic patients, they do not invalidate the fast. They do not break the fast. Why? Because they are non-nutritional. They do not provide nourishment and nutrition to the body. After that, the Shaykh, he mentions therapeutic dyes, ointments, and transdermal patches. And so we have various dyes, we have various ointments, and patches that are used for the skin. And so there are blood vessels inside the skin that absorb whatever is placed on the surface of the skin. And this absorption is slow, but it seeps through the skin and into the blood vessels. And so the question is, does it break the fast or not? He says it does not break the fast because it is only going into the skin, and there's no access point from the skin to the stomach. And these patches and these ointments, etc., they are not providing nourishment. And once again, Ibn Taymiyyah spoke about this when he spoke about treating wounds, treating open wounds. He says, even though that treatment that is used, it'll go into the skin and into the blood flow, but it is not providing nourishment. likewise ointments and creams that we use on our skin. Yes, it goes into the skin, but it does not reach the stomach. And then the Sheikh adds another point here, and that is laser treatment. He says the same thing can be said about laser treatment that is used on the skin. Even though it...
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
deep into the skin, it does not break the fast. It does not break the fast. After that, the Sheikh, he mentions dialysis. And so dialysis is basically a procedure that is used to treat kidney patients. He says you have two different procedures for this, for dialysis. One is where there's a machine which is often referred to as an artificial kidney. And so the blood is pumped through this machine, which then filters out harmful substances and then returns the blood to the body via its veins. So it's like it cleans out the kidney. He says during this process, the body requires nutritional liquids, which are given through its veins. And so he says this procedure breaks a fast. It invalidates a fast. Because what did we say? That anything entering the body through other than the mouth and the nose, if it is providing nourishment and nutrition to the body, then it breaks a fast. He says the other procedure is through the abdomen, by inserting a small tube into the abdominal wall above the navel. And he says, after that, usually 2 liters of liquids that contain a high percentage of glucose are inserted into the abdomen, remaining in there for a period of time. Then they are drawn out. And this process is repeated several times in the day. And so he says this breaks the fast. This breaks the fast. Once again, why? Because something nutritional is entering into the body. And that is, in this case, glucose. Okay, after that, the Sheikh, he goes on to talk about vaginal suppositories. And so he says that modern science proves that there is no access point between the reproductive system of the woman and her stomach. So there is no access point between her reproductive system, any part of it, and the stomach. So anything entering into there does not break the fast. It does not break the fast. After that, he mentions blood donation. And this is something we spoke about previously. And so he says that blood donation breaks the fast. Why? Because a large amount of blood is being taken out of the body, and this will weaken the body. This will result in the weakness of the body. And he says this is based on the hadith concerning hijama, cupping, that we spoke about before, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Aftar al hajim wal mahjum," the one who is doing the cupping, and the one who is having the cupping, the hijama, done on him, both of their fasts have become invalidated. Both of their fasts have broken. And we spoke about this in length when we covered the book of Ibn Taymiyyah. And so he mentioned in length the reason for why hijama breaks the fast. And the same thing can be said about blood donation. And so it would be advisable, somebody who wants to donate blood, that he should do it in the nighttime when he is not fasting. After that, the Sheikh mentions blood tests, blood sampling, where they take out a small amount of blood from the veins for the purpose of testing that blood. He says it does not invalidate the fast. It does not invalidate the fast. Why? Because it is a very small amount. And it does not result in the weakening of the body, like blood donation, like hijama. Blood sampling and extracting blood for the purpose of testing, it does not break the fast. After that, the Sheikh talks about blood transfusion. Blood transfusion. This is when blood is inserted into the body. So here, we're not talking about blood leaving the body, but blood being inserted into the body. So perhaps you are on the receiving end of blood donation. And so the Sheikh says that the scholars, modern-day scholars, have differed over this. But he says what appears to be correct is that blood transfusion does break the fast. He says this is because the veins are an access point for providing nourishment to the body. And this blood that enters via the veins carries with it nutritional substances. Even if you're getting blood from somebody else, there is nutritional substances in that blood that is now gonna enter your bloodstream and provide your body with nourishment, and so that is why it breaks a fast. Um, After that, the Shaykh talks about therapeutic mouthwashes. So these are mouthwashes that the doctors give to the patient to rinse out the mouth, either for the purpose of cleaning the mouth after a surgical procedure, or after removing a tooth, or for treating certain illnesses. So he says the correct view is that it does not break the fast, but it is disliked for the fasting person to use this because you want to make sure that you're not going to swallow any of that. And there is a chance that you may end up swallowing something of that mouthwash. So it is best to delay taking these mouthwashes until after the sun has set it. He says the same thing can be said about gargling therapy. And so gargling therapy is when they give you a liquid substance and they ask you to gargle with it. The same thing, that if it does not enter the throat, if it is not entering the throat and into the stomach, then it does not break the fast. But it is better for the fasting person to not use this and only use it after sunset. After that, the Shaykh talks about toothpaste. He says that toothpaste does not invalidate the fast. Because it is something that you are cleaning your mouth with, and then you are spitting it out, you're not swallowing that toothpaste. But he says it is better for the fasting person to not use it while he's fasting, but to delay it until after the sun sets. And he says that we can do without it by using a miswak, which is from the sunnah. Or, he says, a toothbrush without toothpaste. And he says the same thing can be said about scented miswaks. And so there are miswaks out there that are scented. He said it takes the same ruling as toothpaste. Then after that, he talks about dental drilling, where the dentist drills using an instrument into the gums. He says, first of all, there is anesthesia that is done. So they numb that part of the mouth before they do that procedure. And this has already been spoken about. He said it is a regional numbing, only a part of the body, and that does not break the fast. Secondly, there is blood that will come out. And so he says that there's nothing wrong with blood coming out when that dental procedure is done, unless it's a very large amount. And so if it's a large amount, then it will break the fast. And then after the procedure, they give you that mouthwash. So all of these things, the Shaykh says, we have spoken about. And so he says, based on all of this, dental drilling does not invalidate the fast, but he says it is best for the fasting person to delay it for a time when he is not fasting. Then he talks about dental extraction. He says the same thing. We say the same thing regarding taking out a tooth. The same thing that we spoke about regarding dental drilling. There is nothing wrong with that. It takes the same ruling. Dental laser treatment. Again, he says that does not break the fast. Dental implants. the same thing. He says it does not break the fast. And the same thing with dentures, artificial teeth that are placed. He says, however, if they are placed with a certain medication that they apply to it, certain substance that they apply to it, a liquid solution that they apply to these dentures, and then they put them onto the teeth, then it breaks the fast because you are now going to swallow that liquid substance that is placed on it. After that, the Shaykh talks about artificial insemination. And so this is when some couples have not been successful at conceiving a child naturally. They require artificial insemination. He says that the Islamic Fiqh Council, which is a huge fiqh council, International Fiqh Council, has mentioned that there are different techniques for artificial insemination. Some are forbidden and some are permissible. Some are haram and some are permissible. And so, as for the permissible types, he says that among the permissible types is where the man will ejaculate semen, and that will be taken and placed inside of the woman. If he does this while he is fasting, then it breaks his fast, because it is no different than sexual intercourse during the daytime in Ramadan. Another way is where it is extracted from the man, but not by him, masturbating, for example, but rather through a medical technique. The Shaykh says that if it is done while the person is awake, he feels some sexual pleasure out of that, then it breaks the fast. But if it is done while they have put him to sleep, then that is no different to wet dreams. So there's a lot of detail regarding artificial insemination. It depends on the technique that is used. The Shaykh says, as for the woman, it does not affect her fast at all. If it affects anyone's fast, it is the man and not the woman, because of what he mentioned earlier, that there is no access point between the reproductive system of the woman and her stomach. Okay, after that, the Shaykh, he mentions smoking, tobacco. He says smoking cigarettes is haram because of the harm that it consists of. And back when tobacco was first discovered and people were using it, the scholars used to differ. Is it something haram or is it not something haram? But then with the passage of time and with modern medicine proving the various harms of smoking tobacco, the scholars unanimously have agreed upon the fact that it is haram. It is not even makruh, but rather smoking is haram. And that is because of the harms that it leads to, leading to a person's death eventually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from bringing harm to ourselves. And so the Shaykh, he says that all the fuqaha, all the scholars agree that smoking tobacco, it breaks a fast, because the person is taking in this tobacco and this smoke and swallowing it, and so it breaks a fast. Finally, moving on to the last point that the Shaykh talks about, and that is hypnotherapy. And so a hypnosis is a condition similar to sleep, and it is used therapeutically to treat certain psychological disorders. And so he says it is two types. One, which is a light sleep, whereby the patient retains some awareness of what is happening around him, and he can even speak. And it is mostly for a short period of time. And so he says its ruling is the ruling of sleeping. Does sleeping break your fast? No. Secondly, the other kind is the hypnosis which reaches a level of anesthesia, where one loses consciousness and awareness. He does not know what is going on around him. And so its ruling is that of losing consciousness, which we have already discussed. And so we mentioned that if a person loses consciousness throughout the day from the beginning until the end, then this person does not have a valid fast. But if it is for a part of the day, then his fast is intact, especially if he began his day fasting. And Allah knows best. And with that, we come to the end of what the Shaykh has mentioned in this short, concise book. Once again, for those who want the reference and would like access to this book, it is available in PDF form on my website. If you just go there, or in Google, type contemporary medical related matters that invalidate the fast. Contemporary medical related matters that invalidate the fast. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our fasts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all of our good deeds done during this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see another Ramadan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brothers and sisters, this Ramadan, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to launch the largest Quran Drive initiative in the history of Canada. As you know, the pandemic and the shutdown has made giving da'wah extremely difficult. So we thought, what better way to give da'wah than giving a copy of the Quran to as many people as possible.
I used to be an atheist, but from interacting with Muslims, I bought a Quran and fell in love with it. Halfway through the book, I knew this was the truth, so I became a Muslim.
Actually, I became Muslim without even reading the Quran. A big reason was because of Islam's pure monotheism. After I took my shahada, a brother of the masjid actually gave me a copy of the Quran, and as soon as I started reading it, it only strengthened my faith even more.
I was curious about the major religions of the world because I couldn't understand why people believe in God. So I got a copy of Quran. The verses really touched my heart. I had never read a book like this. After doing my research, I became a Muslim.
This Ramadan, multiply your rewards by sponsoring a copy of the Quran or a box. To learn more, please click the link below. Assalamu alaikum.